Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Reopen Church Sunday is coming May the 3rd. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, after weeks of being closed due to the coronavirus, Liberty Counsel has called on the churches across America to begin opening and believers to start meeting again on Sunday, May the 3rd. We're calling it Reopen Church Sunday. May the 3rd is also the beginning of the National Day of Prayer Week, which culminates on Thursday, May the 7th. We have a website called reopenchurch.org that provides and will provide additional information. You can also go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You know, Matt, we did a Facebook Live recently about this, and just as we were doing it, even, you could see the excitement of the people. Yay, I'm waiting for this. So it just took someone to take the lead and say, you know what? It's time. It's time to open the doors.
Well, Reopen Church Sunday should include, as we're recommending, appropriate measures, of course, for sanitizing the facility and appropriate social distancing between the families. And what we have proposed is that churches should consider reopening with a variety of service options, which may include a combination of 1, reduced seating inside this church, 2, parking lot services for those who cannot get to or do not want to participate inside the church, and 3, online services for those who are unable to attend or at a higher risk category, either due to age or predisposed health conditions. In other words, you can have all 3 going on at the same time in your church facility, your sanctuary, and you may have other rooms in the church as well outside of the sanctuary. You can do a reduced size service, making sure that there's appropriate social distancing. Obviously, cleanse the sanctuary and do what you need to do to protect the health and safety of people. Obviously, you're going to have probably more people than what can fit into that reduced size sanctuary with the social distancing. So those that are unable to come in because the capacity that you have chosen with appropriate social distancing has been reached, or they don't want to come in, they can have the parking lot service. So you can simulcast that same service in the parking lot, have an inside reduced seating, an outside parking lot service, and then, of course, continue your online services, which should obviously continue anyway, whether you were doing this before. And certainly now a lot of churches for the first time began doing online services and will continue to do so to broadcast their services to reach additional people.
And, you know, I think of the verses in Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25 says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembly together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So Matt, you know, it's as we've been talking all along, we should not live in fear. Fear not, God says. Yes, take appropriate precautions, be safe in the process, but we can't live in fear and just keep our doors of our church closed.
No, that's true. And you know, the Greek word for church is ekklesia, which means assembly, an assembly together of people. That actual word was used before the development, the founding of the Christian church. It was used before the birth of Christ, and it was a gathering of people, and the Christians used that to address and describe the assembly of Christian believers together.
They would meet in the synagogues at that time.
Some of them would meet in the synagogue. Certainly the Jews that became believers in Jesus as Messiah would meet in the synagogues, and there would be even debates and discussions in the synagogue with others who were not yet followers of Jesus. And then the Gentiles, of course, they never did go to the synagogues because that would be someplace that they just would never go. Right. And they wouldn't be welcome in many of those synagogues anyway. So they met in their homes and other places, but they met together. And of course, the word synagogue, it's not a Jewish word. It actually comes from the Greek word synagoge, which means an assembly of people or a place of gathering. And that's where we get the word today that's called synagogue. There's some other Hebrew phrases that refer to that kind of gathering, and it's basically similar in terms of its meaning in Hebrew, and that is a place or a house of gathering. So even in the context of church, synagogue, there is an implied gathering. Now, obviously, you want to make sure that you balance the public health and safety. But look, churches have been closed down for too long at this point. Right. Originally, they said 2 weeks, and most people were fine with that. But then the 2 weeks went into 4 weeks, and the 4 weeks went into 2 months. And the 2 months in some places is even being extended beyond that with no end in sight. The goalpost keeps getting moved further and further. And this is consistent with the Trump administration guidelines for opening up America again, which President Trump released, outlining three phases for the states to gradually ease the lockdowns. Phase one set the target date as May 1 to systematically begin the reopening of the nation. But some states, obviously, he said, and it mentions in the guidelines, may be able to reopen earlier. Phase one expressly includes churches in that beginning phase of reopening America.
Right. Well, you think about how important fellowship is to God. I mean, he created us so that we could fellowship with him and with each other. So how important it is that we don't stay sequestered for a long periods of time off by ourselves, but we come together because we can encourage each other in so many ways, physically, emotionally, spiritually.
No question about that. There are certainly things that you cannot do online that can only be done in person. A touch, for example.
Right.
You can't do that online, and a touch has so much power to it.
Okay.
Just being in the presence of other people has power to it. And as the scripture said, don't forsake the assembling together, as is the habit of some. And I know we've been under very unusual situations. Some churches have met in small groups. Certainly other people have met, and they continue to meet before and after in churches, in homes. And certainly that is perfectly fine, and have church service online is perfectly fine. But to just completely stop the fellowship, the in-person fellowship, you know, that actually carries a consequence. And while we want to protect the health and safety of everyone, no question about that, I don't think that's a debate, it is time to begin the reopening. If you go back to the book of Daniel, for example, Daniel was told when he was in the high level of the government, people wanted to come against him, they could only find something related to the worship of his God, because otherwise he was an upstanding person in every way, and so they tried to trap him. And they passed a law that says you can only worship no other god but the leading government official for 30 days.
Right.
So for Daniel, you know, he could have said, it's only 30 days. It's no problem. I can survive 30 days. I'm in a high-level position. God has put me here for a reason. It's not going to do any good if I get taken out. Who else is going to take my place? It's only 30 days. I could change my worship habits. I don't have to look toward Jerusalem. I don't have to open up the window. I can say silent prayer. But for Daniel, one day was too much, and he was willing literally to put his life on the line. And I know we started off with 2 weeks, and the 2 weeks continued to extend and extend. And then what we ended up having was places around the country saying that you could only have 10 people, 5 people, no parking lot services. You can't drive to the church to even do the online. That was a situation we were involved with in Washington State. And then in one place, Holly, one of the governments said, no, when you're doing online service and you have a few people there to broadcast online, you can only use percussion instruments, no wind instruments. Look, this is the government telling you how you can worship online, no parking lot. Some say parking lot. Some have been sued over this. We have litigation going on ourselves. Some have said 10 people. Some have said 5 people. Some have said you can't drive to the church to do the online. Some have said you have to use only certain instruments. This is an incredible intrusion into our right and duty to worship our Creator, as our conscience and the Scriptures tell us. And so we're saying, as part of this reopen America again, opening up America again, phase one begins on May 1. It includes churches. The first Sunday is May the 3rd. So we have a website, lc.org, also reopenchurch.org. Reopenchurch.org or lc.org will get you to it. And I encourage you to have your church consider and pray about how you might participate and think about combinations of how you might offer the service on Reopen Church Sunday, May the 3rd. For more information, you can go to lc.org or reopenchurch.org. We're going to put more information on there to give some ideas on guiding you to begin the process of reopening the church, because the ministry of the church is more essential now than ever before.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. The website again, lc.org.